Good morning, everyone. So today is what? It's March 16th, 2018. So my friend Doc Searles is the new editor-in-chief of Linux Journal. And it's a serious job, apparently, full-time. And so it seems like Doc is shedding his side gigs and is just going to be doing this this very surprising job, all things considered, because Doc's not an OS guy, and he's very technically adept, but not particularly adept in the inner workings of operating systems. I know this, but I mean, I've known Doc now for, I don't know, almost 30 years, I would guess, which, you know, when you get to be my age, I guess isn't all that much time, but I remember hearing people used to say that. I heard people say that when I was a kid, and I thought, well, that's just an unthinkably huge amount of time to be friends with somebody. But it feels, you know, feels like yesterday. So, but, Doc, I've made a, Doc has used a lot of my software, and so I've supported him. And so it's interesting. But Doc is very technically knowledgeable about the Earth and about radio and probably a few other things. I mean, he is encyclopedic on these things. He just writes, and he's over my head in the second paragraph, and I probably could wade through it, but it's just amazingly dense, and so it's kind of, to me, a little bit of a contradiction that Doc is on the one hand so capable on these things, but you know, you see it in a lot of people. But what Doc is doing with Linux Journal, and I suppose I should have figured this out right at the outset when he took the job, is he is using it as a way of developing his ideas around CRM, which is what the old thing is, customer relationship management, and he wants to flip it around and make it vendor relationship management. So CRM, basically, the idea is that we've got all these customers and potential customers, and we want to develop really detailed profiles of them through their activities on the internet, and then we'll know what to advertise to them. And we'll be able to sell them to advertisers based on, you know, their demographics and their interests and, you know, what sites they've been to. So you could choose to advertise to people who have thought about renting an RV. That would be sort of one activity. Just trying to think of a good example. Let me just cut to the chase. I mean, you know, we all use systems like that. That's what Facebook does. Amazon basically does it. They're watching you. They're buying the information about you, or they've put cookies in pages. They've managed to get cookies in pages. So they follow you all over the place. And Amazon, if you look at a product, if you just click on a link, if somebody says, go look at this product, and you don't know what you're clicking on, so it's kind of random. And then for a long time, they're going to be showing you that product and competitive products, and it could be something that's embarrassing or completely off the wall. I mean, you just wonder, why is it that I can't tell it what I'm interested in? And I thought that, yes, there are sites that already do this, like Zillow. And I, you know, I thought I was the only one doing this, but apparently not. What I do is, if I develop an interest in a place, it doesn't necessarily have to be a place that I want to live, just an interest in it, in the United States. What I do is I create a query on Zillow, and I have it send me an email every day of ads for houses that are for sale in that geography. So here, let me just get my email up here. I can tell you, I'll tell you what I got this morning from them. Let's see. Quite a few. All right. So this is the first one. Here they are. Durango, Colorado. Portland, Oregon. Santa Cruz, California. Taos, New Mexico, that's both rental and for sale in Taos. Santa Fe, same thing, both rental and for sale. Novato, Marin County, which funny, it's funny that Marin County and Novato basically are the same. I can't believe that there's no Mill Valley or San Rafael. I think there must be something wrong in the way I set that up. And New Hampshire, the Lake region in New Hampshire specifically. So I learn a lot about these places just by dreaming about living there through reading the ads. So much so that I hardly open certain of them anymore because I feel pretty much like I wasn't learning anything. Durango was fascinating. Very short-lived interest. I haven't canceled the subscription, but I've been to Durango a couple of times, and it's not a place you go. It's a place that it's an airport. And because it's in an incredible part of Colorado, that and it has a good airport. And so guess what surprised me totally is that housing in Durango is quite expensive. It's not like, for example, Taos. Taos is not expensive. In Taos, you can buy a very, very nice house for $300,000. I mean, really very nice, top of market type nice. And nice houses in Taos are really something because they, and I don't understand why it's only in New Mexico that they make houses like this because it's so attractive. They have these thick walls and tile floors and beautiful kiva fireplaces, and the colors are fantastic. And it's just they're the eye, the point of view, the whatever it is that influences the way they build houses there. It's just now you take a place like Bozeman, Montana, and I don't have one in here for there because they haven't sent me an email about that today. Everything in Bozeman is like super ugly, not very expensive though, which is something weird because you'd think that if Durango was expensive, that so would Bozeman be expensive, and I don't understand why. One would be and the other one wouldn't. Durango, it's not like Durango is in a place where there's very little real estate to build on. It seems quite the opposite. There's a ton of open space there. But yet, but it's gorgeous. I mean, the places there, well, the really expensive places, the 25 acre type places, are like straight out of a Western movie, but the idyllic, you know, there's a river running through it, and you know, it's horse country and mountains behind you. It's not itself in the mountains. It's on the southern border of the mountains. There's sort of an opening in the Rockies there, or moves in a different, who knows exactly, but it's not mountainous, but it's very close to the mountains. And so you've got skiing there, you've got Mesa Verde National Park is there. And it's a gateway to New Mexico. It's very easy to get to New Mexico from there. And the I've never gone this direction out of Durango, but I imagine that from the going west, you get to the canyon country in Utah. I have to look at the map, but any case, this is an example of VRM. This is it. You know, Doc talks about vendor relationship management. Well, what I've done now is through an agent, Zillow, I have expressed an interest to the people who have houses for sale in all of these places and to the aggregators of those, to the real estate companies that work in, and real estate is a very geographic, decentralized industry. There is a centralized element to it. You have national chains, like the biggest, I think, is Coldwell Banker. They seem to be everywhere. I've bought and sold a house through Coldwell Banker, so. And I ha they they're anyway, so there's that. And then there are the independents, and it's they aggregate. And then the individual people who are selling the property, they're just people like you and me. So when we look at Linux Journal and Doc's thing, say, well, you know, this has never been done before. No, it has been done before, and it is being done. And I am by far not the only person I know who's doing this. Once I started posting what I call real estate porn, which so does everybody else call it that, to Facebook, I find out that all these other people are doing exactly the same thing. And it's a really wonderful way of learning about a place. It isn't the only way. And it's what I like about it so much is that that when you travel in and out of different parts of the country, you don't really get to see the differences. Most of the places that you pass through, as you drive on highways and you go out to eat and stay in a hotel or even an Airbnb, what you end up seeing are the things that make it like every other place. You know, the McDonald's and the Marriott's and Hilton's and even the car dealers and the bookstores and the tire dealers, and you know, it's all the same chains and the same names, and you can't really get a sense of what makes the place different. But this is a way of going into a community and actually seeing the community. And it's great. So could you do the same thing for Linux? Yes, of course you could. Absolutely. I mean, I am very interested in certain things and completely uninterested in others and mildly interested in other things. And I have a lot of hooks out there into the world to bring me information about those things. For example, in my RSS usage, I subscribe to the Hacker News Firehose, which is literally everything that's posted to Hacker News that gets a very small number of likes. I mean, it's not everything, because they get a fair amount of spam, I'm assuming, but it's very close to everything. And so there I get a broad selection. Because I happen to work in the most popular language out there, which is JavaScript, I get a lot of JavaScript, which is good. But if I could, like, tell it that I'm very specifically interested in JavaScript and Node.js, and right now I'm very interested in learning more about SQL, because I'm doing projects that involve it, and I'm kind of a newbie, but I want to, you know, if you could show me newbie techniques for getting things done, or how to use tools that are related to SQL. I mean, these are totally things that I would pay money for, because I pay money for pretty much everything that I do online. And there's no reason why markets wouldn't develop that way if they were allowed to. Nobody is going to have the enough web hooks into the different places I can go on the web that they would ever be able to discern all of the facets, you know, of all the things that I'm interested in. I saw a thread on Facebook the other day where somebody was talking about, why is it that nobody is interested in my project that does blah, blah, blah? And I didn't respond, because it made me want to think, because I am interested in his project. But I never found out about it. And vice versa. I have a bunch of projects out there, like, I don't know, River 5, Page Park, publicfolder.io, I mean, Radio 3, Happy Friends, et cetera, et cetera, Node Storage. I mean, just all these really incredible pieces of software that are free, in some cases MIT licensed open source free. Others, I have a whole outliner that's open source, you know, and it's a good one. I make good outliners, and this is a good one. I also make good RSS tools. I mean, would you consider using the RSS environment created by one of the guys who created RSS? Why not? Why wouldn't you want to consider it? There isn't really a good way to sell these things. I mean, in the early days, and Doc will certainly remember this, and I'm sure Doc will listen to this. By the way, Doc, all the things I said up front doesn't interfere in the slightest way with my very high regard for you. I'm equally weird, and in the old days, which Doc and I both remember because we've been friends for 30 some odd years, we made products that were reviewed by people who understood and used them in publications like PC Week and InfoWorld, Mac Week, Mac World, Mac User, Byte, PC, PC World, Dr. Dobbs Journal, which is probably, I imagine, the closest equivalent to Linux Journal. I think that Linux Journal and Dr. Dobbs are kind of on the same thread. Well, today, reporters don't report on software anymore. Tech reporters, they report on tech business. It's like, oh, well, who got IPO'd and who has seed investment and which superstar executive is moving from Twitter to Google or whatever. And I know the truth about these superstar executives. Please. Okay. I don't think they're superstars. I think they're executives. I think they're executives just like car industry executives and oil industry executives. And things are all wrong and backwards in tech. They really are. And they hide the things that are important and highlight the things that are easy. It's easy to report on an investment round. All you have to do is just read the press release and type in what it says there. But to review a product and tell people what it's like, even in the old days when they actually tried to do it, the process was flawed. It didn't give you the information you actually needed. Software isn't like a lot of other products. It's not like a rock album. It's not like a play or a movie. I mean, you watch a movie once or twice. Some movies you watch a lot, like There Will Be Blood. If it's on, I'll watch the whole thing. Big Lebowski, The Departed. I mean, there are a whole host of movies. Yeah, I'll watch them all the way through if I happen to trip over it because they are so good, right? But most movies, like, you just watch them once and that's it. But software isn't like that. Software, you want to really know what it's like to use the product. Well, you want to know what it's like to get started with it for sure, but you also want to know what it's like to use it a month in, or 6 months in, or 6 years in, even. I mean, I make my language decisions. I don't really get started using a language for years. It takes that long for me to get into it, to really figure out how I'm going to use what it does. I mean, JavaScript being an incredible example of that, it's such a quirky language that here I am, however many years, 5, 6 years into it, and I have now got a settled thing, but I still learn new things about it all the time. Pascal wasn't like that. Pascal was UCSD Pascal was the one that I spent the most time in. All right, so what else am I interested in? I'm very interested in Lambda. I think that's a really good idea. I have made an attempt to use it at different times, and there's nothing puzzling about it. I understood it immediately. Problem was is that one, I it took me a little while to figure out whether or not it could fit in, if it had enough functionality that it could fit into my development work. And the two times I did that, I determined that it didn't. Well, this is something I'd like to keep up on. Maybe at some point they're adding features to it because they must be actively developing it that are bringing it more and more into the realm of possibility for me. So the point being is that Linux Journal is a perfectly awesome environment for trying out these ideas because it's very much, I mean, I never would have accepted Zillow. Let's put it this way. When Zillow advertises to me on Facebook, and they do because they know I'm a heavy user of their product, I click through to a lot of ads in Zillow every fucking day I do it, and they know which ones I'm clicking on. And for some reason, when they talk to me on Facebook, they show me ads for products that cost 3 or 4 times what I'm actually interested in spending. They've decided that what I want is like a $2 million house. And I believe me, there's no way I want a $2 million house. I would think a $700,000 house is pretty expensive, to be honest with you. So how they determined that, but I did a much better job of defining my interests than their algorithm has done. Why their algorithm jumped to this conclusion, I have no clue. Probably because they've developed a profile of me online, and somewhere in there they've made a guess as to how much money I have or spend, and something about my web habits tells them that I would be in the market for a $2 million house. And I'm not. It's wrong. Where is the place I can go to that says where I can say, look, you guys got that wrong. That isn't what I'm interested in. Show me ads for this and you got me. And I believe it'll work. I believe people will love it, and I also believe that the right place to start is Linux Journal. Why? Because the people who can spread the ideal like a virus. Because once they see, first of all, it can revolutionize development. That's the first thing. Totally can change that. We can get past this whole, we're waiting for something that is never going to happen, which is for tech journalism to recenter on things that actually matter to technology. This is simply not going to happen. So if we want it to happen, we have to do it for ourselves, which means we have to create a marketplace. My friend on Facebook posting the other day, why is it nobody knows what I'm doing? There you go. There's the need. I feel the same way. I would fucking advertise if I felt I could reach the people who I need to reach. Right now, there's no place to do that. O'Reilly could have done this, I think, at some point. Maybe. Stack Exchange could do it. They certainly have access to the people. But why not start with Doc and Linux Journal? Because Doc is the guy who's been thinking about this shit. This is his life's work. I mean, there are a lot of things he dabbles in, but I think if you ask Doc, what is it that you want to achieve in your life, making VRM work, which, by the way, is a perfectly awful name. I've told him this over and over again. It really needs a better name. It needs a better name. I think that if you ask Doc, what were you put here for, he would say, this is what I have figured out, and this is what I've wanted to make work. This is the Clue Train manifesto, by the way. Doc is one of the authors of that. Anyway, so let me leave it right there. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.